بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وبارك على الأشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا وجزاكم الله خيرا. I ask Allah تبارك وتعالى that he makes this jalsa, this gathering, one which is mubarak, one of blessing and benefit for all those that attend. Alhamdulillah, as the brother mentioned, Jazawla Khair, what I wanted to discuss with the brothers today is the affair of the importance of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and discussing some of the thamarat, the fruits and benefits of ittiba'i sunnah, the fruits and benefits of the one, or for the one that follows the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, like any other affair, it's important to discuss it from its usul, from its foundations, and understand the importance of an affair by way of its foundations. And the foundation of our existence and the foundation of our religion is the affair of Tawheed. It's the affair of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And first and foremost, a person must affirm the existence of his Lord, Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are different means in which a person can affirm the existence of Allah. The first of those means is by way of the aql, by way of his intellect. That the abd ibn ibadillah ponders upon the creation of Allah, the kawn, the ayat of Allah within the creation. And no doubt his intellect tells him that if there is a creation, then there must be a creator. If we look upon the seas and the mountains and insan themselves, all of whom have been created, then all of these things relates to the existence of a creator. Likewise, we affirm the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by way of the naql, by way of this affair of the Quran and the Sunnah, the Nusus, the texts. Allah ta'ala has affirmed in the first ayat that we recite to within the salah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed that He's the Lord of all of creation. Likewise, He's affirmed names, beautiful names and lofty attributes for Himself. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. And belonging to Allah are beautiful names, so call upon Him with them, using them. So we have the text where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed no doubt that He is Rabb al-Alameen. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed that He is al-Razzaq, that He is the one that provides. So we have all of these affairs affirmed within the book and the sunnah. The third way in which we understand and we affirm the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by way of the fitrah, the natural disposition, which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed, كُولُ مَوْلُودٍ يُلِدَ لَالْفِتْرَةٍ. Every child that is born upon the fitrah, the natural disposition. And this fitra, this natural disposition, is one in which he affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Likewise, from the fitra is that he affirms that Allah Azza wa Jal is the only one that is worthy and deserving of worship. And likewise, from this fitra is that he affirms that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-A'la, is the Most High. Well, fi'lan, this is something, if you reflect upon it, and you reflect upon the actions of mankind, when they refer to Allah, whoever they may be, even individuals, they may claim that they do not believe in the existence of Allah. When they refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they always refer to Allah as being Al-A'la. And they turn and they look towards the skies. And all of this, no doubt, is from the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natural disposition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon mankind from His fadl, from His virtue and His ni'am. And in the fourth affair, in which we affirm the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal, is by way, no doubt, of the mu'jizat, by way of the miracles performed by the anbiya wal mursaleen, the miracles performed by the prophets and messengers. For we understand that these miracles, which may oppose affairs that we know to occur from natural causes, we know that these miracles can only occur with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. That miracles can only occur by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we affirm the existence of Allah. We have the ma'rifah of Allah, knowledge in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this does not suffice. It is not sufficient for an individual to state that he believes in Allah, he believes that Allah exists. He believes that Allah is a Khaliq. He believes Allah is a Razzaq. Rather, upon him also is to affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship due to this affair. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabbul Alameen. He's the only Lord. He's the only one that created, the only one that gives sustenance, the only one that arranges the affairs of the creation and organizes the affairs of the creation. So when a person is well aware of this reality, then no doubt is upon him to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and show his gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And this is the tawheed that all of the prophets and messengers called to. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا عَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَشَنِبُ الطَّغُوتِ. And indeed we sent to every nation a messenger with the command of the worship of Allah Ta'ala alone and staying away from the taghut, from the avoiding and staying away from the false deities. And this is why we've been created, for the worship of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alone. As Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that we do not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me. And you find no doubt other texts such as this, explaining the importance of the affair of Tawheed. Like the hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen. لما بعث Mu'adh ibn Jabal إلى Yemen, قال إنك تأتي قوما من أهل الكتاب فليكوا أو ما تدعوهم إليه شهادتي أن لا إله إلا الله في الرواية أن يوحد الله فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فاعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم خمس صلوات في كل يوم وليلة. So we have this narration of Ibn Abbas the well-known narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in which he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he stated to him, indeed you are going to a people of the book. So make the first thing you call them to the Shahada of La ilaha illallah. The Shahada of La ilaha illallah. The Shahada of there's no deity worthy of worshipping truth besides Allah. And in another narration, another word, make the first thing you call them to, and you wahid Allah. That they single out Allah Ta'ala alone in ibadah. And if they obey you in that, then inform them and teach them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon them 5 prayers in every day and night. So understand, ya akhwati kiram, that this da'wah and this affair begins with the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognizing the existence of Allah. Recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabbul Alameen. Recognizing that Allah azza wa jal has lofty attributes and beautiful names. And by necessity of the perfection of Allah azza wa jal, His perfection and His hikmah and His wisdom in creating us and bestowing upon us, by way of that, He is the only one worthy of worship alone. And what we know of Allah azza wa jal is that He is upon adl. He is upon the affair of justice. And in opposition to dhulm, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the hadith al-Qudsi, the hadith that he narrates in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam mentions fima rawa an rabbihi, the Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam mentions from that which he narrates from his Lord, Ya ibadi, inni haramtu dhulmu ala nafsi, fala tazalamu. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ya ibadi, O my servants, I have made the affair of dhulm, oppression, haram upon myself. So do not oppress one another. So when we understand that Allah Ta'ala, all His actions are upon hikmah, a perfect wisdom, all of His actions are upon adl, all of His actions of Allah Azza wa Jalla are upon the affair of justice, then know when we have this affair of tawheed, which is an obligation upon every single individual from mankind and the jinn to be upon, then you understand that He has sent prophets and messengers with that call to tawheed. That He did not create mankind without purpose. Rather, from His hikmah, He created mankind and the jinn with a purpose. And He did not create the mankind and the jinn without knowing their purpose. Rather, as we mentioned in the ayah, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَلِئْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاشْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. That indeed we have sent to every nation a messenger with the command of worshipping Allah Ta'ala alone and staying away from the taghut. Staying away and avoiding the false deities. This is the command. This is the command from Allah Azza wa Jal. And from His hikmah is that He sent prophets and messengers to every nation. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed this affair of the deen and perfected the affair of the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the final message that He sent to call and remind the people of this affair of Tawheed As Allah Ta'ala mentions, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtum Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Islama Deena. Allah Ta'ala mentions that today I perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and chosen Islam as your religion. This affair of Islam, no doubt, is one which is synonymous with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For indeed, he alayhi salatu wasalam has come with the Sunnah. So when a person affirms the Tawheed of Allah and the importance of the Tawheed of Allah, then he recognizes and he sees the importance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which he's come with. And the affair that he has come with is the Sunnah. The Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we understand the affair of Sunnah first and foremost by its definition. And the Sunnah, in its definition, when we look at any affair, we look at the definition, lughatan, then shar'an. So the Sunnah, lughatan, is a tariq. The Sunnah, linguistically, is a tariq, is a way, is a path. It's a particular path that a person adheres to. This is the definition of the Sunnah, linguistically. A person adheres to a particular path, in a particular way. Whether it be a sunnah, which is hasana, or a sunnah, which is sayyah. Rather, it's a way where a person adheres to that path, and begins a particular practice. As you find from the narration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when discussing the Sunnah, i.e. being a particular way, man sanna fil Islam sunnata hasana falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ba'dahu min ghayri an yanqus min ajurihim shay'a. Wa man sanna fil Islam sunnata sayya kana alayhi wizruha wa wizru man amila biha min ba'dihi min ghayri an yankusa min awzarihim shay'a. Naam. And so we have this narration found in Sahih al-Muslim. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that whoever establishes within Islam a good sunnah, a good methodology, a way, then he has the ajr of that sunnah. He has the reward of establishing that good practice, as well as the reward of anyone that follows him in it after him. Without the reward of any of them being rendered deficient. And whoever establishes in Islam a sunnah or a way which is evil, then he has the evil deed upon him for establishing that evil way, and the evil deeds of those that follow him in it, without any of them being rendered deficient for the two of them. So in this narration here in Sahih Bukhari, or Sahih Muslim, rather, we understand the affair of the sunnah, or a sunnah being a way, or a tariq, or a path. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration is referring to a sunnah, then no doubt he's referring to reviving an affair of deen. Whoever revives an affair of deen amongst the people, so something that's already established from the Kitab and the Sunnah, and he revives it amongst the people, then he has the reward of that action. He has the reward of doing that action by way of reviving it. And there's the reward of those that follow him in it, because no doubt he's calling to good. And likewise, the mention of the Sunnah Sayyah in Islam. The evil way within Islam is no doubt referring to the one, the Ahdatha. The one that newly invents an affair within the deen of Islam. An innovation. So he's innovated within the religion of Allah Ta'ala. And no doubt this is in opposition to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And by way of that, he has taken the evil deed of innovating and newly invented a practice within Islam and the evil deeds of those that follow him in that action. And so this is the Sunnah. This is Sunnah in terms of linguistically. As for the Sunnah, and when we discuss the Sunnah in relation to the Sharia, then it differs depending upon who is discussing it. Whether it be the people of Hadith, whether it be the people of Fiqh, and other than that. Or the people discussing it in the affair of Aqeedah. However, generally speaking, when we discuss the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it is a call, it is a statement, or fi'l, action, wa taqrirat, his tacit approvals, the things that he approved of. Likewise, his sifat, the description of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Khuluqiyya wa Khalqiyya. A description of his sifat by way of his mannerisms. A description of his sifat by way of how he appeared. His physical description. All of these things are regarded as being from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And being upon a way of perfection. For indeed the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ma'su. He carried the affair of Isma. He carried the affair of being ma'sum, that he was infallible. And no doubt anything that he called to was one of perfection. And there was no good except that he called the people to it. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahab. There was no good except that he called to it. And there was no evil except that he warned the people against it. And so when we mention the ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the affair, Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtum alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum islam adina. And today, I perfect your religion for you, and completed my favor upon you, and chosen Islam as your religion. Understand, no doubt, that this is the affair of the Sunnah and the Deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that has been revealed to the Messenger of Allah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That the religion of Islam was completed and perfected with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every affair that he called to and every affair that he performed was one upon perfection. And it's a must that an individual has iman in that regard. That his iman in relation to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that he called to a way that which is one of perfection without any deficiency. And so this is what we mention when we discuss the affair of the Tawheed and the Shahada of La Ilaha Illallah. We understand by way of that that we are affirming that there is no deity worthy of worship in truth besides Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship in truth besides Allah. And the shahada of Anna Muhammad Rasulullah, the shahada of that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, this necessitates that we have tasdeeq fi ma akhbar, that we believe in all of the affairs that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of. Na'am. Wa ta'atuh fi ma amr. And we obey him. We obey him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that which he has commanded with. Wa ijtinab fi ma naha anhu wa zajar. And we avoid and stay away from the affairs that he has prohibited. Now, I was strongly prohibited against. Because all of that is upon the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of that, no doubt, is upon this affair of perfection. And that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called to this affair in a manner of perfection. And so he has given the message and conveyed the message upon perfection. As Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيًا يُوحَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala mentions in relation to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he does not speak from his desires. Rather, his speech is that of wahi. His speech is that of revelation. And he has received revelation. And this, no doubt, is in reflection a rejection of those that seek to reject the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes with an affair, then we understand that this affair is one which is from, ultimately from Allah Azza wa Jal. That it's from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that his conveying of the truth is one which is from Allah Azza wa Jal, because it is all from the wahi. It's all from the revelation. Likewise, from this affair of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and us affirming that he, no doubt, is infallible in this affair of conveying the truth, is that we affirm the love for him, and it's an obligation to have love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah Ta'ala mentions, النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is precedence over the mu'mineen, over the believers in their own selves. Likewise, you have the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that none of you truly believe until I become more beloved to you then your own father or your own child and all of mankind. That individual that understands the importance of the sunnah and understands the station and the status of the one carrying it, yeah, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he loves the Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam more than anyone else from mankind. And this affair of the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or there are different aqsam, there are different categories of people in relation to the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. the first of them is the one that falls into ifrat, the one that falls into excessiveness and extremism in relation to the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example of that, an example of the Sufiya, where they may love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the extent that they should only love Allah azza wa jal. So they have mahabba for the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to the extent that they love him along with Allah. And no doubt this is not something which is excessive and extreme. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in the manner in which he should be loved. Likewise, you have the second type of people that fall into tafreet, that they fall short in relation to their love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so due to that, this affair of the love of the Messenger of Allah is one in which they love other individuals more than they may love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this, no doubt, is a deficiency in Iman. For the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam narrates in this narration that the affair of Iman is attached, no doubt, directly to this affair of loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else of mankind. And no doubt the one that recognizes the sunnah in which he carried is aware of the importance and the makana and the station of the one carrying it. And a person cannot love the sunnah and love Islam as it should be loved until he loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he should be loved. And this is the one that is seeking to have complete and perfection in his Iman. That he is aware that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with perfection by way of the Sunnah. And then you have the third. And these are the people of i'tidal. These are the people of moderation in relation to the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are the individuals that love the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else from mankind, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to it as being from the fifth Iman. However, they love Allah more than anyone else, for they are aware that the love of Allah is from Tawheed. Loving Allah is from ibadah. Giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his correct station in relation to love and ibadah is something from his Tawheed. So he loves Allah ta'ala alone and the most. However, from the creation, he loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most, due to the sunnah that he's come with and carried. As for the individual that seeks to make this sunnah manifest in these affairs, and that seeks to make his love for the Messenger of Allah manifest in his life, then he is the one that has tamassuk with sunnah. The one that truly loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will become manifest when he holds on firm to the sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Holds on firm to the way that he's upon. Likewise, from the means of a person making manifest his love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-ikthar min dhikrihi wa salatu alayhi. That the one that wants to make his love manifest is that he mentions the Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam much in good, and likewise he mentions the salatun alayhi. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Man salla alayya wahida sallallahu alayhi ashara. That whoever sends the salutation upon me once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send them upon him tenfold. For this, no doubt, is an indication of a person that truly loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, from the means of a person making their love for the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam manifest is a tamanni bi ru'yatihi or bi ru'yati wa shawq ila liqa'ihi, that the individual has a hope to see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and has a longing to meet him alayhi salatu wasalam. For indeed he truly loves him. And he's truly aware of his sunnah. And he's truly aware of that which he has come with. So he has that desire. He has that desire to meet him and see him. And likewise, the one that loves the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has love for that which he loves. He loves the affairs that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves. At the head of them, no doubt, the Tawheed of Allah and the Sunnah in of itself. And he has hatred for that which he hates. At the head of that shirk billah wa kufr al-bid'ah. This is how a person's love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes manifest. And the sunnah in of itself carries much benefits for the one that adheres to it and seeks to uphold it and stick to it. The first of them that we can mention is the one that adheres to the sunnah is adhering to al-amr al-ilahi. The one that adheres to the sunnah is adhering to a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. For thee, no doubt, Allah azza wa jalla has commanded us with the sunnah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ati Allah wa Ati al-Rusul wa uli al-amri minkum. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger wa uli al-amri minkum, and those that have been given authority over you, any rulers. Allah has commanded with that affair. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, Man yuti' al-Rusul faqad ata'a Allah. That whoever obeys the Messenger, then indeed he's obeyed Allah. This affair of Ta'at al-Rasul is one, no doubt, of obedience to Allah. And it's a command from Allah. And no doubt the one that is seeking to be upon Ihsan in his life, worshipping Allah as if he sees him, and being aware that Allah Ta'ala watches over him, the one that is seeking to truly be upon Ihsan, then no doubt the individual must adhere to the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. For indeed Allah does not command of an affair except that it's from His perfect hikmah. For indeed He is Al-Hakim, He is Al-Alim. That Allah Azza wa Jal is the most wise and the all-knowing. And so due to that, no doubt, what He commands of an affair is based upon the hikmah. Likewise, for the one that adheres to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finds that it's a means of guidance for him in this dunya and akhirah. And it's a means of a sa'ada, happiness in the dunya and the akhirah. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions that the unwan of sa'ada thalatha, that the means of attaining happiness are three. The first of them, at-tawheed, wa-diddu wa-shirk. The second of them, as-sunnah wa-didduhu, wa-didduha al-bid'ah. And the third, at-ta'a, wa-didduha ma'asiyah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions for the three affairs that bring about happiness for the abd, for the servant of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, is that he's upon tawheed. And the opposition to that is the shirk. The second is that he's upon the sunnah. And the opposition to that is bid'ah, innovation. And the third is that he's upon obedience. And the opposition to that is ma'asiyah, disobedience. And so the one that has tamassuk with sunnah, holds on firm to the sunnah, then this is a means of alleviating any hardship for him in the dunya or the akhirah. The third affair we could discuss in relation to the sunnah, no doubt, is that it's a means of guiding the individual away from the dalala. For indeed within the sunnah is al-hidayah. Within the sunnah is guidance. And so leaving that off is only the means of drawing a person into misguidance. As you have the statement of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, where he mentions, قلت عاملا that I used to act upon an affair of the sunnah and I did not leave off an affair of the sunnah فإني لأخشى إن تركتم عملا من السنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأزيغ. He mentioned رضي الله عنه أبو بكر الصديق, therefore I feared that if I was to leave off an affair of the sunnah, then it would cause me to deviate. And this is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. This is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the closest companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that is from the Ashm al-Mubashirin bi Jannah. He was the first one mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from those 10 that were guaranteed Jannah. And he himself feared the affair of misguidance. He feared misguidance. And deviation. And he feared the affair of misguidance and deviation being as a result of him leaving off something from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he recognized by way of his hikmah, by way of his wisdom, and by way of his fahm, fiqh fi deen, by way of his understanding of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he recognized that the one that leaves off an action from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this could be something that draws him nearer to misguidance. Likewise, you have the statement, the famous statement of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, where he mentions, As-sunnah kas-safinatu Nuh. Man rakibaha naja. Wa man takhalla anha halak. Imam Malik mentions, rahimahullah, that the sunnah is like the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Like the ark of Nuh. Whoever traverses upon it and boards it will be saved. And whoever leaves it off and abandons it, whoever abandons it will be destroyed. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said himself that kullukum yadkhulun al-jannah illa man aba. فَقَالُوا مَنْ يَعْبَى يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالْ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, all of you will enter Jannah except for the one whom refuses. And so he mentions, the companions around the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they mention, who would refuse the Messenger of Allah? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever obeys me, then they will enter Jannah. And whoever disobeys me, then indeed they have refused. They've refused. And no doubt this is an affair which now will lead them to misguidance. Likewise, from the benefits of the one that adheres to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the sunnah is a means of saving the individual from following the different paths that draw an individual away from the haqq. And so, you have the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where he mentions, قَتَ لَنَا نَبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَتَّى وَخَتَّى عَنْ شِمَالِهِ وَيَمِينِهِ خُطُوتٍ. Then the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم drew for us a line. And he drew from the left of it and the right of it lines coming off. And he mentions in relation to the first line, هَذَا صَلَاتِ مُسْتَقِيمِ. This is my straight path. And the lines that he drew to the left and to the right, these are the subul al-shaytan. These are the other paths drawn to misguidance. At the end of each of one of them, is a shaytan yad'u ilayh. At the end of each one of them is a shaytan calling to it. Understand, ya ikhwati fudala, in relation to this affair of the shayateen calling to misguidance, a shaytan la yalal. The shaytan has no himma, importance, does not care which path the person takes. Which path the person takes, which leads them astray, as long as he takes one of those paths that leads them astray. As long as the person takes a path that leads them away from that straight path down the middle. The Salat al-Mustaqim. The straight way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, a person can avoid that when he adheres to the sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions it himself. Where he says, وَمَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَىٰ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions, whoever from you lives after me, then he will see much differing. He will see much differing. So you find all these paths being called to, all this misguidance being called to, all this differing being called to. As he goes on to say, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةُ خُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ مَهْدِي مِنْ بَعْدِي عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. He mentions, so upon you is my sunnah. And the sunnah of the khulafa al-rashidin, the rightly guided khulafa, hold on firm to it with your mawlati. Tamassuk bi sunnah. The one that sees this much different should adhere to the sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, just to mention finally, in relation to this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, and this is from his alamat al-Nubuwwah, the sign of his prophecy, that whoever sees and whoever lives after him sallallahu alayhi wasallam will see much different. However, a person should not despair upon that fact, for indeed he has narrated to us the solution to that affair. And the solution to that affair being adhering to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and staying away and avoiding the muhdafat al-umur, the newly invented affairs. For every newly invented affair is an innovation, and every innovation is within the fire. So a person should recognize in totality that the sunnah is a way of salvation, and the sunnah is the way for a person to attain success in the dunya and the akhirah. And so, a person that is upon the tawheed of Allah, and this is why he's been created, only makes this manifest by way of following the sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's essentially the main reason that we discussed today, the importance of the sunnah. For indeed, a person cannot fulfill the reason for his creation by any other way than following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيكم.